All right, we live. What up, bro? So, everybody, welcome back. It's a platform I started a few months ago called The Break Room. The reason why I call it The Break Room or the R-A-K-E is because I feel like sometimes we got to stop, take a break, pump the break, reassess where we're going in life and where we going next. Like my man today, my man 50 grand. I want to say 20 years in.
It's been a minute, though,
since we linked up. The last time we linked up, probably Miguel was freestyling all night long. Shout out to Miguel. But, my man Mo Muhammad, what up, man?
What's good, man? What's good? So,
chillin'. I'm glad you made it, man. How you doing? It's popular. How you?
It's everything is good, bro. Everything's good. You know, working, you know, family and everything like that. You know, just grinding and shit, bro. But lately, nigga, I just been into, you know, doing my, I know you've been seeing my shit on IG, the toy photography shit.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
I've been getting into that real heavy. So, you know what I'm saying? I still draw and everything like that. But that toy photography got me on my attention right now.
Explain the toy photography for me. Explain that for me. For the audience. What you been doing?
It's basically like, and it's funny you say that too, because a lot of my boys, they look at it, they be like, yo, this nigga playing with toys. And I'm like, nah, it's not toys, nigga. I'm not playing with toys. Like, you know, because before I got into it, I seen other people doing it. And basically, you know, you just get certain characters, you set up scenes, different stuff. And, you know, it's you really got to get into your photography. You got to, you know, the lighting, the setting, and you just set up different scenes and make stories out of the pictures and shit like that. And it's like almost like art, man.
I'm sure it's art. You know what's funny? Before you continue, yo, street dudes and street homies, they don't understand hobbies.
And none of these niggas got hobbies. I be like, I tell my bro, like, nigga, going out to the club is not a hobby, bro. Like, like that's not a hobby. Like, what do you do when you home, nigga? Like, yeah, yo. So I be telling niggas, like, nigga, you get older, man. You just say you gotta find something to do with your time.
Put the gun down and pick up a pen or something.
Word.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But yeah, I peep that you be doing your photography. Yo, man, that takes practice. That takes skill. That takes effort. That takes calming yourself down and focus. I respect that.
Man. Yeah, I love it. It's real relaxing to me, like. So that's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when we first linked up, like 20 years ago, pretty much, 05. Damn, 05. Sounds crazy. When we first linked up, you know, you was always an ill, you would write, you could MC, you could rap, but you were also an ill artist, you can draw. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say for audience out there, I can't draw for shit. I can't do, I can't draw for nothing.
Didn't you do like graffiti or something like that?
Nah, never me. I never did graffiti, never did graph art, nothing, never that. My shit is stick figures, that's it. I cannot do art of any kind. Like, I never could. I could do music, but I can't do art. So whenever I met somebody who can do art, I'm always like, you know, captivated. Like, yo, how can this person sit down and yo, I can't even do a perfect circle. They be doing I can't do none of that shit. They be like, do a perfect circle. I'm like, fucking oval.
Like, shit.
Yeah. So art was never my thing. Drawing was never my thing. So I respect that about you. But yeah, man, let's go back in time though, since we're here. Let's go back in time. So let me set the scene for everybody. Back in 05, you was working in Paramus at a Home Depot company called Expo, a subsidiary. I worked at the same company, but in New York, and my store shut down. So then we came over to Jersey to work, me and a few of the guys, shout out to Big Miguel. Mm-hmm. And we worked there from like 05 to like 09 when the store closed down, I want to say. And in that time, we had mad fun.
A lot of stories.
Real quick, if you never worked retail, you can't relate. My other day, I was trying to explain to a coworker, a colleague about retail, and he never worked it. And there's this dude. I remember this dude. He's working in stock. No, not in stock. He was a supervisor. I forgot what department. I think his name was Brian. And yo, he's talking to a customer. Yo, true story. He's talking to a customer, and this is called bullshit 101. He's talking to a customer, and he's like, yeah, ma'am. She wants some faucets or whatever. Yeah, ma'am. You got to buy this faucet, buy this chandelier, and then you got to get for it to work. You need a flux capacitor. I'm like, flux capacitor. Why do I know that phrase from somewhere? So when the customer leaves, he's like, all right, bye. I'm like, yo, Brian, what's the flux capacitor? I think it's a real product that we have in the back and stuff. He's like, dog, you never see Back to the Future?
Yeah, that's why you reckon, that's why you remember this.
And that was when I learned, yo, sometimes with customers, you got to bullshit your way through a sale.
Yeah, yeah, I used to do that shit all the time, yo, working up in there, yo. Like, niggas stop me for some help and questions and shit. I just be telling them some bullshit.
Now, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you did this that much in the Paramus store, but back at the old store in New York, there was an old, like, hide that we used to have in stock. Like, we had something like that here, too, right? We had curtains. You could sleep. You could lay down. You could chill. Take a nap.
Always remind me of this comedy movie. I can't remember the name of it, but every time I see it, I think back about it. Like, yo, that's how we was. Yo, we had a chill spot. And we had a fucking hangout area. And I remember we used to go up in the theater room and just chill up in there. I used to dip in there all the time, watching movies and shit. Watching the same movie every fucking day.
It reminded me of this movie with Dan Cook called Employee of the Month.
That's the movie I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
the name of it.
Yeah, they go with the forklift, playing cards and shit.
Word, yo. I used to be like, damn, yo.
Yo.
That shit was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. If you never worked a retail job, if you never worked a Home Depot job, yo, man, you missed out. I wouldn't advise it. Don't get it twisted. I would not advise it.
Yeah.
Yo, because, yo, when you come to close, that 12:30 to 9 o'clock shift, that whole day is shot. You can't do nothing. You better hope you did laundry that morning because... Your whole day is fucked.
Your whole day is done.
Yo, me and John, Miguel, Los, Carlos, Joe, we used to go on Saturday afternoons. We go to Hooters, take a 2-hour lunch break. Just like order mad food, mad wings. I'm like, yo, shit, I'm supposed to be back an hour ago.
Word.
Yeah. Yo, good times, man. Good times, man. Yo, retail hell, man. I call it retail hell, man. Retail hell, man. You got to go through
never
it.
Never going back.
Yo. Once you do retail, you can never go back. Yeah, that's the final boss of work drama, retail. Yeah, and don't date
shit.
And don't date no cashier either. You know, this is another drama. But yeah, man, we linked up at Expo back in Paramus. That was good times. Matter of fact, I still talk to Miguel to this day.
I was just about to ask you, do you still talk to them,
Miguel? Me, Miguel, and Yuri in a group chat. We talk all the time about baseball and stuff. I check in on Joe every so often. I check in on Los, Carlos every so often. His cousin John every so often. A few cats. And you, of course. But yeah, good times, man. Good times. But yo, so when I met you back in 05, I remember you telling your story. Your story, I could see it plain as day. Like, you know, from Brooklyn initially, you know, you had your life in Brooklyn. And then you had drama.
Originally from Brooklyn.
Originally from BK. You remember a party from? You remember a party?
Yeah, Bushwick.
Oh, Bushwick. So Puerto Ricans. Okay. That's where the Puerto Ricans we had. So you was a kachi out there. you was with the salsa folks. Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. You was a Bushwick. You was from your mom, Deuce, or your pops, or both?
Nah, with my mom's. Me, my brother.
You, your brother, and your mom's. Right. I remember. I remember you explained to me how essential and how much meaningful it was, your time in Brooklyn with your mom, Deuce. I remember you showing me a video one time of you at a mall. You were at the mall with your mom and your brother. They did a music video together. You remember that shit?
Yeah. That was, I still got that video too. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like a music video together. We was dancing and shit.
Yeah, for the youngins, back in the day, you go to the mall, you do like a little music video, and then like
they set up a background for you and everything.
A background that you lip sync the words, you sing the words along to the track, like karaoke, pretty much.
Yeah,
like karaoke, and then you know you get the VCR tape, get the video cassette tape, take it home with you if you want.
Yo, yeah, sure like that.
Yeah. But I remember that. Can you tell me about that time when your mom's back then in Brooklyn and going to Jersey and just the whole time in Brooklyn with your mom's? What was that like for you?
Oh, man. It was amazing. It was amazing because I was one of those spoiled kids, too.
So, what?
Nigga, my mother got me everything. We living in Brooklyn. We had the best, nigga. It was the best. And then, we ended up, I think I was like around when I came to Jersey, like maybe like 9, 10. You know, that's when I, you know, started growing up out here. My mom came over here to Little Jersey. So after that, I grew up with my grandparents.
Why'd you leave Brooklyn? Why'd you leave BK?
It was, you know, my mom had a hard life.
Hard life.
My mom had a hard life over there, drugs, you know, shit like that. My mom actually did some time locked up. So when that happened, that's when we actually came to live with my grandmother. And then my mom came home.
Yeah.
You know, we just stayed out in Jersey, came back to Brooklyn every now and then because, you know, I always still have family out there.
No doubt.
But yeah, after that, that's why I just stayed in Jersey.
Do you remember what was going through your mind at the time when your mom was going through her battles, going through her stuff and going and get locked up? Do you remember what you felt?
Yeah, it was hard for me because I was a mama's boy too. So, and I was the oldest, so I saw everything. My other siblings, you know, they was younger.
Yeah, usually the older heads don't get sheltered because they got to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
They got to witness all the drama, so they don't have time to like shelter the youngins or shelter the younger siblings. They're the ones taking it too.
Yeah, that's how it was. You know, it was a little bit hard. Now, my mom passed away when I was 15.
So you was already in your teens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you remember that probably vividly or somewhat.
Yeah. But I had some great memories because I think it was maybe like 2 years before my mom passed. That's when she took me to my first concert, the first actual Summer Jam.
Oh, shit.
That's when I don't know if I ever told you. That's when I met Tupac and I took a picture with him.
That's where the Tupac love comes from, partially.
Right there, that's where it started. That's where it started. Right. My mom, I was in the front row. My mom pulled me. She was pulling me to the back. And I'm like, yo, why are you pulling me to the back? We in the front. And then next thing you know, turn around, Tupac standing right there in the crowd. And she was like, can my son have a picture with you? And he was like, yeah. He gave me a pal. I stood next to him, Kool-Aid smile. Mom took a picture. And the crazy thing is, I don't have that picture to this day. Yo, I tell people, niggas don't be believing me. I'll be like, yo, I wish I had that picture.
Ain't no Instagram back then, man. I don't know why y'all hating out there. Ain't no IG back then. Damn, you got to meet Pac. Me and you off camera and off mic always have fun about Pac because I'm a huge Biggie fan. You're a huge Pac fan. But just some people know, I'm a huge Pac fan too. I got the Machiavelli mixtapes, one through whatever. I got old Pac's catalog. I love Pac. And we'll get into that too about New Jersey's love for Pac. Jersey folks, ride for Pac. You know what I mean?
Jersey love Pac.
Yeah, Jersey love Pac. So we'll get to that too. But you originally a Brooklyn head. So for you to go to Summer Jam, the first one, your mom Dukes took you and you got to meet Tupac there. That's a pivotal moment in your life, probably.
Yeah, man.
Damn. All right. So first in peace to your mom's, by the way. And shout out to her for that. She looked out for you in various ways. You were her the mama's boy. She took care of you. She had her battles. She had her issues. Do you remember the moment in time when you knew she passed? What was that like for you? Like, what was that like? Or what was it like just seeing her go through her trials and tribulations even before she passed?
Well, it was still hard for me too because my mom was getting sick. You know, she was cancer. I seen her getting sick, but you know, I'm young. I don't really know what's going on and everything like that. You know,
right.
I just know she's in bed a lot. You know, so but up until it happened, I was shocked for a minute. Like mm-hmm. I said, you know, I was a mama's boy. So it took me a couple months till it really hit me.
Mm.
You know, and then when it hit me. You know, my grandmother had to sit down with me. We talked. And the best thing about that, my grandmother gave me a letter that my mother had wrote to me before she passed. She was supposed to give it to me after she passed. So my grandmother wanted me to wait until I was ready. And I guess that day she felt I was ready. So she gave me that. It was like a 5-page letter.
Oh, snap.
And, yeah, I had that letter to this day. And every time I feel bad, y'all pull that letter out. I read it.
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah.
Damn. So she knew what she was facing, what she was going through. She had the idea that she wasn't going to make it, but she made sure to leave you with something to go off of the rest of your life. Talk about the importance of that letter for you to this day. What does it mean to you to have that letter?
It means a lot, and I cherish it. I keep it locked up safe.
Please do.
And but yeah, it means a lot, you know. And you know, I got copies of it, and I gave some to my siblings so you know they could read it, you know, whenever they. Yeah. Think about her or, you know, just feel down.
Yeah. Speaking of siblings, how are you and your brother doing? Because I know sometimes y'all have off and on situations.
We're good. It's funny because I actually just seen him yesterday. He got a daughter and everything, so he's a father now.
Oh, you're an uncle now?
You're an uncle now
because you've been a father since the 70s. You had kids early in the game.
Early, nigga, right after high school.
Matter of fact, your son's in the army. He's in the deployment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's overseas right now.
Well, shout out to him. Hopefully he's doing well out there and hello. But yeah, I remember you and your brother, y'all dynamic back in the day. But yeah, man, I think it's very touching to hear how your mom Dukes, even in her last days, was able to, articulate, her emotions to you, because, man, some parents don't be thinking about that, like making sure their kids know that they love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I try to do this. I do the same thing, with my kids. Every day I try to show them how much I love them. Let them know that.
What about you? What about during this whole time though? Where was your father's situation? Was he out in the wind? Was he not around? Was he running around? Or was he already passed?
It was funny. He passed away, but he wasn't really much in my life, because the crazy thing is, back then when my mom got arrested, they actually got arrested together. So that was actually the last time I seen my father. After that, I didn't see him again. And so we found out he had died, and then we went to the, the funeral.
He was back in BK, or he was in Jersey too? He was in New York?
He was in New York.
Yeah, he was in New York.
Yeah, wow. I think he was in Brooklyn.
When you have parents who pass away early in life or have their own trials, tribulations, does that stunt how you connect with that family on the other side, cousins and stuff like that? Does it mess with it, or do they come closer to you? How's that work?
No, it actually, I think it brings us closer, because, my cousins, we all grew up together. Now that we all grown up and we have our own families and everything, so it's, a little harder for us to get together.
No doubt.
We all stick together.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because I grew up with a lot of cousins too, whether Queen, Brooklyn, Rockland, Jersey cousins that we'll get into. I got cousins all over the tri-state that I grew up with. And whenever I talk to white homies or like white coworkers, they don't acknowledge their cousins. I don't know if you noticed that. They don't, it's just their household and that's it.
But I don't think they grew up together like how we grew up. We grew up with our families.
Yeah. Our family's three houses down. My cousin from this side, that side. Like, we got cousins out the, I got cousins I never, I got cousins I've never met before. I got cousins I know exist, I've never met before.
I used to spend summers with them and everything.
Absolutely. Like, they're my siblings. So, but, my white homies, they'd be like, what? We talk about cousins. I'm like, that's why you act that way.
Yeah.
You need your cousin. So, I'm glad you hear that, though. I'm glad to hear that, even though you went through your own shit, with your family and your mom and pops, you had a family, though, to hold you down. In fact, I remember you telling me a funny-ass story, dog. A funny story back in the day. Around that 05, 06 time, where you told me how, after your mom's passed, after your parents passed, you're living in Jersey, going to high school in Jersey, and you told me how on your 18th birthday, your grandma, who was raising you at the time, she changed the locks on your birthday. Can you explain how your grandmother changed the locks on your birthday? You're a March baby too, right?
Yeah, March 2nd.
March 2nd. So can you explain to the people how your grandmother, on your birthday, your 18th birthday, changed the locks on you? What was that like? What were you doing to warrant that action? What's going on?
You know what it was? I don't know if I ever told you. It was really my grandfather. He had this thing where he did not like me and my brother. And growing up in my grandparents' house, it was me, my brother, and my younger sister. So, he loved our younger sister, but me and my brother thought we was like drug dealers or something. I don't know what he thought we was. We didn't do nothing. We just went to school. Yeah, so me and him got into it. And then my grandmother, she's, one of those old people where, she's just on her husband's side. He said, that's what it was. So he said he wanted me out by my birthday. It was like 2 weeks before my birthday, my 18th birthday. So he said, I want you out by your birthday. I'm like, all right.
But mind you, are you working at the time? Are you working?
Yeah, I did have a job. I had like a little after school job and everything.
But you still in high school?
Yeah, I had just graduated.
Okay.
I had just graduated, so I was, I still had the same job.
But yeah, goddamn.
I was coming home from work, and then put the key in, and boom, locks have changed. I'm like, what the hell? Like, damn, they didn't wait no time.
When you left the house that day, he had the lock already.
But after that, he was on it. It was funny because, my brother and all of them, they all tell you, because, even though after that I left, I would still come back to see my grandmother or whatever. And this guy would sit on the porch and guard the front door to make sure, I don't come in the house. Like, My grandmother used to have to have me, like, yo, just come around the back. Just come around. I'm like, yo, grandma, like, why are we doing this?
Ain't no deal.
Like, why are we doing this?
Yo, what was it about him that was on it like that?
I don't know. He had a stroke. Before the stroke, he was the coolest grandfather. Like he was nice to us, help us with our homework and everything. But I don't know. After he had a stroke, something happened to him, and I don't know. He wasn't the same person, yo.
God damn.
Not.
Get them kids out of there.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yo, so, all right. So, where'd you go after that day? What'd you do next?
Well, yeah, that night, I had a best friend lived like a couple houses up. So, I went to go stay with him, and I actually stayed at his house for, for a couple of weeks. And then I found out about a studio apartment in Washington Heights. And then I took that. So that was actually my first apartment, Washington Heights studio.
I remember you telling me you used to live by the Heights. I remember you telling me, yeah, you're right. Damn. Wow. Okay. So you're living in the Heights. All right. From living in the Heights as a young adult, pretty much a teenager still. When did you have your first kid? That was shortly after, right? A few years afterwards?
That was 2021, because I graduated 2000, so.
Oh, you mean old one.
Yeah.
Oh. Yo, wait. Kai, is that old now? Wait. Yeah, what?
He's 24.
Yo, he's 24 years old?
Yeah.
God damn, he old. Yo, that's crazy.
He's a grown-ass man.
He's a grown-ass man. God damn. Kai is a 24. He could drink.
Yeah.
Yo.
His drink is Hennessy. That's what he drink all the time.
His drink is Hennessy. He already has his own drink. Yo, that's crazy.
I'd be like, yo, bro, you're crazy.
Yo, when I met dude, he was a baby. He was a youngin'. Yo, time is flying. Now he's in the army. God damn. Yeah, all right. So what was that like? Listen, we don't want to get too personal as far as your business. But I remember when I first met you, you were one of the first influencers to show me that, like, all right, listen, she ain't got to be perfect. But sometimes it's you're able to have a co-parenting situation where you don't need papers involved. You don't need the courts involved. You don't need paperwork. You just do it off the books, collaborating. It ain't always perfect. But you always show me that, like, there's a possibility it can make it work. So what was that like, having your first two kids and having to wrestle with the peaks and valleys of it all, like the ups and downs of it all, but still making it work as co-parenting? What was that like for you?
Well, in the beginning, I think, like, any, relationship, after a breakup like that, it was hard because, their mother, we was together since high school.
Right.
And we was engaged.
That shit don't work out.
Stuff don't work out. So
it shit don't work out.
So it was a little tough, but we became friends, and then we both moved on, and as the kids got older, it became a lot easier, so.
Right. The kids never beef with y'all over, right? Like y'all not being together, they never cared or they cared?
Nah. So we were still there 100%. I saw my kids almost every day.
I remember you was always on it. Like, yeah. You told me earlier, like.
Yeah, I was always going over there to see them. So.
You was always on it.
I had ended up moving back to New York, because remember I was dating that, shorty from the Bronx.
BX, I remember her.
Yeah, so. So I was still back. I was still back and forth seeing him.
I remember that. As early as I met you, you was never not parenting. You was always about your fatherhood. You was always on point with it. You was always like proactive, thinking about what your kids going through, what you trying to do for them. You always had like you was always active.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, being that the memories and everything from how my mother was with me and my siblings, I was trying to do the same thing. Plus more, for my kids.
Also, you're telling me that the influence you got from your mom's and how she was on it with you, it trickled down to how you were with your kids.
Yeah,
I can see that. I can see that because, like I said, there's cats. We all know cats out there who don't give a fuck about their kids. They don't be on it with their kids. They'll have them and then they leave them forever. So when I met you and I saw how you was on it, I said, shit, when I have kids, I gotta make sure I'm pressed about it, like the way Mo is. So I respect that. Speaking of kids, sidebar. So, I teach, right? And in February was Black History Month. So every month at my job, we gotta like have like a day dedicated to like a theme. So like, and do like a project on a theme. So our project in February was Black History Month superheroes comic books. We had to find a comic book hero who's black, and then you do a thing on them. And unfortunately, I couldn't do this person because the movie, you can't find it anywhere. It's a stream. You gotta buy it. And I was only trying to buy it. But I was gonna do Media Man. And when I thought about Media Man, I always think about you and Media Man.
Yo, every time I see Media Man, I think about you. Pause. But yo,
can you explain to the youngers on how fire Media Man was? Because my youngers at work, they're like, "What do you mean Media Man? What's this?" I said, like, "Yo, you had to be there. You had to be there."
Yo, classic movie. But yeah, that's funny because when I always watched that scene, I always thought that shit was funny to me. And until I met you and you thought that shit, I'm like, yo, like that shit was crazy. I thought I was the only one that thought that like, nigga, who the fuck is out there saying Kung Fu like Master Larry?
It's funny you say that because I remember you telling me you have an idea. I won't give it away too much. How you want to poke holes at scenes like that, like scenes that either don't make sense or just weird as hell.
I want to do that. I think that shit would be funny.
Yeah, because, you
that
know.
It'd be funny. Movies, just pull out scenes that just don't make no fucking sense.
Yeah, I'm feeling that way too. Like, why did they put this in there? Like, what's going on? What are they trying to say here? But yeah, so when we do a Media Man last, about 2 months ago, February, I thought about you, like, yo, Mo would love this shit. Unfortunately, we couldn't watch it because it's not on streaming services. Yo, sidebar, yo, dog, I have the Fire Stick and I got a bunch of streaming services. I still can't find certain movies. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Damn.
Like I can't find 28 Days Later. The new one coming out soon, 28 Years Later. There's like mad movies I can't find. I'm like, yo, why the fuck you gotta be paying for this shit? My thing is, if I'm paying for the motherfucker, it better be there. Like,
you're right. And a lot of the good stuff, you'd be like, damn, like, where the fuck can I watch this shit at?
And yo, I'm a bougie ass dude. So like, I don't know how you were, Mo. Back in the day, I know with bootlegs, you didn't mind as much. But with me, yo, I can't do certain bootlegs where like the doobie had standing up in the middle of the theater.
Nah, it depends. If it was like a really good movie, because I'd be thirsty. I'd be like, fuck it, I'll watch it. But I hated that shit.
What was the last movie you were thirsty to see? Early, I can't wait.
Dang, what was that? I think
for me it was Infinity War.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it had to be an Avenger movie.
Like Infinity War. Like, mind you, sidebar, unpopular opinion, maybe not unpopular, but for me, I take Infinity War over Endgame. Infinity War's, y'all. Yeah, Thanos was talking that shit, boy.
Yeah. Infinity War was the shit, and it was the setup.
It was a setup. And to me, one of the best fight scenes I've seen in MCU history is the Titan scene. When they're in his home planet that crumbled up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he's explaining how why it fell apart?
Yeah.
And they all like try to fight him, but he beats them all out one by one. That fight scene to me, I take that shit over a lot of Marvel fight scenes throughout the history of the MCU.
Yeah, that shit was tough, and it was it was a really good movie.
Mind you, when you think about it, I know you're a comic book head like me. In fact, you draw comics and you write comics and you illustrate. So we'll get into that too. But I've read the original Infinity War back in the day, the Gauntlet comics. I always felt like, not for nothing, he should have won. Even in Endgame, he should have won. Like, it's like he whooping Hulk's ass. Like my thing is like, how they like I don't know how you feel. This might sound funny. I thought it was kind of weak that they had to use the time travel. What's it called with Ant-Man when he shrinks into a small planet? The quantum realms. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? I'm with it, but at the same time, I'm like, they had to do that because
they had to do it. It was the only way.
Because Thanos.
It was the only way they could do it because
Thanos was whooping that ass, boy. Like, yo, like I feel like so far he's probably been the best villain in the MCU series. And I don't know how to top that because I saw the trailer for Fantastic Four. I'm not digging it. I love Galactus. I love Galactus as a villain, but I'm not digging it.
I see. I don't know. I don't want Fantastic Four. It looks. I don't know because it looks like it's gonna be all right. My thing is, I don't know how they're gonna pull off this nigga. This nigga Robert Downey Jr. as Doom. Like, how they gonna explain that?
I think they're saying that, you know, he's not from this. This is not Earth 682, whatever, which is our Earth. This is some other Earth. other dimension. This is another dimension where we might get evil, evil doctor. What's the guy's name? The stretchy guy. We might get an evil fantastic down the line. Like, I get it, but I also feel like because Marvel had those studio issues for years where they couldn't have certain properties like X-Men and Spider-Man. I think that kind of fucked them in a way, storytelling wise. Because now they're gonna try to fit them in. But it's like, how you fit them in when you can't explain it? Like, yo, they weren't around for 30 years. That's what I'm saying. How do you introduce people who weren't around for the last 25 years? By the way, they was in the back chilling. Logan was just there chilling, watching the whole thing. You almost got to reboot it or something like that.
Well, that's what they're saying. This whole shit with Dr. Doom, it's going to be like a whole soft reboot where they bring the Fantastic Four and everything like that. And then they say it's going to be like nothing ever happened. It's like they've always been there.
They bring
in the X-Men too. So it's going to be like the X-Men, everything. This is how it was.
I'm intrigued to see how it turns out. I'm just like,
I don't trust
it'll be executed to my liking, but I can't go in like that either. I gotta have some grace with it. But yo, back to the topic at hand. So you in Jersey, you live your life. Let me give you my Jersey experience real quick. So Jersey, I love Jersey. Love Jersey. I grew up with cousins from East Orange, West Orange, Irvington. By the way, Irvington. Listen, you want to be depressed in life? If you want to be depressed, take a late night drive to Irvington. That's some depression as shit. I don't know who the Irvington mayor is, but I bet you his shit is in a box. His office is in a box somewhere, in a cardboard box. That's a broke ass town. Like, Irvington is a wild place to be in. And I love Irvington. I love Newark, but
it's crazy. I've never been to Irvington.
Never been?
Yeah, but I heard stories by this.
Oh man. Yeah. I've been through Essex County, Sussex County. I had cousins who, just like you, I had cousins who left Brooklyn. Yo, eight siblings in one household. They left Brooklyn and they went to Jersey in the mid 90s. They went to Verona, New Jersey. Verona's like right outside Bloomfield. So it's like, it's a small white town. Matter of fact, they were the first black family to move in the 90s. Yo, they were so white, that town, that it used to be Dr. King Day. I had school off, and they had school that day. And I'm like, where are you right now? Like, we're at school. Why the fuck are you at school? Like, Dr. King Day. Yo, man, we got school. Like, yo, that's some racist-ass shit. You know your town's racist if you got Dr. King Day. Like, that shit. What are we doing? So I would go spend summers with them. I spent summers with them. Then we hit Newark to see my other cousins and Irvington and West Orange, East Orange. And one thing about Jersey is y'all love Tupac to death. Y'all big on cars, of course. Y'all got car culture. And also like, y'all got that Jersey club music. That is, it's a weird genre. Like, the beat is mad fast and repeat. I don't understand the Jersey club scene. Yo, matter of fact, Mo, one time I have dates with this girl from Newark, and she was hood. That's why hood Newark chick. Hood. And my whip was like a hoopty ass whip. Remember that Camry I had back in the day? I had a black Camry. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
I had that black ass hood Camry. It had no shocks on it. So when I would drive, it sort of flew in the air. Everybody has one hoopty in their life, if not three or four hoopties. But yeah, my hoopty was like, it would float in the air. Like, that's how it was. No shock. Yo, you hit one pothole, you got up in Texas. I hit one pothole, I'm in Delaware. You better not hit a pothole. You fucking land on the moon. That's how much it was. No shots.
That's crazy. I remember you driving that shit too.
Just floating. So I remember I went to her crib. I pulled up to her crib. And then she said, "This your ride?" I said, "Bitch." In my head, like, "Bitch." She said, "No, it's cool. It's just cool." I said, "Bitch, you judging me? You in Newark."
You're stupid.
So she goes, but she's like, "Oh, it's cool, no, it's cool." She's like, "Yo, you want to go?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Yo, but let me drive." I said, "All right." So she drove her whip. And by the way, she was a mother, so she had like a nice car. One thing about women, like a lot of times, dudes will like stray away from dating women with kids. But I always said, "Yo, don't be bad dating women with kids." Usually, a woman with kids, she's on point. She got a job. She probably got a degree on her. Like she already focused, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A young chick who run on responsibilities, probably can't cook. She probably got roasted in the crib, like
she's out in the streets.
Yeah, she's out in the streets, yeah. A woman with a kid, there's benefits to it.
Yeah, she can't be out there. She gotta be there.
Yeah, she gotta hustle.
Yeah, doing her thing.
So what happened? So I went over here to see the 18, I'll never forget. The 18 movie, the remake in theaters. It's like 2010, 2009. Uh-huh. And afterwards, she's like, yo, let's go out some more. I said, cool. She's like, I know an after hours spot. And I'm like, hold on, I'm not in New York, so I don't know my way around Newark to at late night. And then my Jersey is usually Jersey spots close around like what, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, like one.
One, two. So I know there's a curfew on liquor and stuff like that. It was like 3 a.m., 2 a.m. She's like, yo, let's go to an after-hour spot. She took me to a hood, hole-in-the-wall pool hall. I'll talk about it. It's not an official pool hall with lights and electricity and all that stuff. This is a hole-in-the-wall spot. You got to go through a bar. They go to the back, to another bar down the street, through an alley. And then we go in there. And I remember, it's one of the hoodest spots because not only is it a pool hall, you got cats on the corners shooting dice. You got cats on the shore shooting dice, throwing money in the ground. And that should be uncomfortable. I don't like seeing cats throw dice and in a closed space. You can't run. You can't run.
It's a gambling spot.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a gambling spot. She's like, yeah. I'm like, that bitch should have told me that. So then I'm like, all right, cool. So, my thing is like with hood chicks, I'm sure you know this too. When you with a hood chick, whether she's in the projects, whether she's like from the sticks or whatever, you gotta mentally prepare yourself for what you're about to see.
You do, because their lifestyle is different.
and they normalize shit quick. So, like, I'll chill with her at the spot. It was cool. It was dope. And that was it. But I remember being with her like, yo, there's a difference between New York hood and Jersey hood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference like how people move, what they play in their whip, that Jersey club that they like, give me an example of like Jersey hood. Do you have anything on the top of your head, like a Jersey hood situation?
Jersey hood. See, I don't know, because I think Jersey, we got two different types of Jersey hood. Because down there towards South Jersey, them niggas is country. Camden, and all them niggas is...
I mean, country.
They like them down. That's like down South hood. And then we got the ones up here, like North, Jersey City, Addison, that's more like, I'll say, a little bit, like a little bit more North New Yorkish hood.
Yeah. We more tri-state East Coast.
Yeah, because we're more close.
Yeah,
we're more close to New York. Because where I'm at, I'm like 15 minutes from Harlem.
Yeah.
And people tell me all the time, they're like, "Yo, you dress like you from Harlem." I hang out with a bunch of Harlem niggas.
Yeah, I know how that be. But yeah, man, I've always felt like Jersey gets a bad rap, gets a weird rap or a real rap, you know what I'm saying? Like, I catch kind of front on Jersey. I know for me, growing up, whether it's Passaic, I'd be Passaic with my cousins, hanging out with all the Peruvian chicks, you know what I'm saying? Or running around or go to a random spot like Houlihan's or whatever, or 46 Lounge, or I would hit certain spots, and I was at a good time in Jersey. I don't want people. Why do you think people front on Jersey? Why do you think that?
I don't know. They just be hating on Jersey.
Yeah, I be hearing the weirdest jokes about Jersey.
You know what it is? Because we got a lot of suburban areas over here in Jersey. I think that's what it is. Because I got cousins. Being that I grew up over here, I got cousins that still live in this New York. But when they come over here, it's like they be like, oh, okay, well, like they be bored as fuck.
They want to see more rats.
Yeah. They want to see something like...
they want to see more drama, more rats or something like that. I get it, being from both sides, seeing both sides, but listen, as someone who had cousins in hood Jersey, I learned quickly, no. There's some hood-ass Jersey stuff to get into. And you got to be careful. Don't think shit is sweet in Jersey.
Yeah, you just got to know the spots.
Yeah, know the spots. But yeah, man, I wanted to touch base with you because I feel like I was telling you earlier how like I got now we're OGs in our 40s and such. We're working with younger heads.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, for instance, I was talking to my young boy the other day. He's 25 years old. he and another coworker who's young were talking about gaming. And I guess because of the Nintendo Switch 2 is coming out. And and then I was like, wow, Nintendo. So then me and my older coworker, who's older, she's like my age, like a few years younger than me. So we were the first Nintendo and the first Game Boy. And then I was saying, they were like, what's that? So I was showing them the old Nintendo. And then I was like, yo, I'm so old. I pulled up a picture. I don't know if you remember this, Mo. Remember those old school Tiger handheld games?
Yeah.
Those Tiger joints? Not Game Boy, but Tiger.
You know? Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm from that era.
So I had a couple of them shits.
Like Mortal Kombat would come in or whatever, and Street Fighter. And they were like, what's that? My eyes hurt. So I was like, I was like, yo, you don't know what you're missing. And I was telling them about Super Soakers, but people talk about toys. Uh-huh. They don't even know toys, you know. So I was like, yo, back in the day, my cousin used to have Super Soakers. My cousin would put like hot water in a Super Soaker, and he would spray my other cousin in the back. And so they're like, what's a Super Soaker? I'm like, you don't know what a Super Soaker is? So I had to show it to them. I'm like, yo, man, I feel like, and I wonder what you think about this as a father of a 24-year-old. It feels like maybe our generation was the last generation to have the old model of a childhood, but still be young enough to embrace the new model. Like, we had the best of both worlds. Like, so like, can you explain to people what it was like back then growing up, going from analog to digital, from toys to digital gaming to, you know, like, and what was that like for you? Like what were you playing growing up as far as gaming, as far as outside, as far as watching? What were you looking into, and how did it translate as you got older?
Well, growing up, you know, I was a gamer. I was into all type of games. So yeah, my first phone was like Nintendo. But I even had like Atari. I don't know if you had that.
Yeah.
Actually, it was my grandmother's, but she used to let us play it. So we was playing that. Then Nintendo. I was into it. And I feel like I got the best of both worlds because I got to play that. And growing up, I got to get into, you know, the PlayStation. And now I even have a PlayStation 5 now. So now I'm into that. The only thing I would say that I haven't really gotten into that I'm noticing the newer kids are getting into now is like VR.
You
know, my youngest son, 9, he has the Mega Quest headset. He's into that, playing Gorilla Tag and all these other type games. And like, I don't know nothing. I put it on, I'd be lost. I'd be spaced out. Like, I need a controller in my hand. And
I'm also,
that's way advanced for me. So, you know, so yeah, I think I got best of both worlds, you know.
I think so too.
I got to get into everything, and
I think so,
know,
too.
I still be gaming.
I think so too, because for me, you know, I didn't have Atari in the crib, but my cousin did, so I played that once or twice. I had Nintendo early in my life with the Duck Hunt. I had Mario. Mm-hmm. Then I had, I'd say, the Genesis, like Joe Montana Football. I had Shinobi. I had all those old school early Sega joints, right? And then I had NES, Super NES. I remember when I first got PlayStation 1. And on that weekend, I got PlayStation 1. My pops bought me Twisted Metal. I don't remember this game called Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
But when the cars fight each other, that shit blew my mind. Yo, I was up all night like, this shit is crazy. I was like, this
you know,
shit.
You know, on another note, you know they got a TV show.
I heard with Anthony Mackie. I heard.
Yeah, I watched like the first season. It's actually pretty good.
It is. Yeah, I want to watch it because yo, Twisted Metal, that was an ill game for me. And I remember when I played Resident Evil for the first time. I mean, lights. I turned the light on this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is scared the shit out of
this
you.
This is crazy. The only time I didn't mind the lights off growing up in the 90s was when I would watch Tales from the Crypt, the TV show. Or I'd watch Spawn on HBO. Shout out to the Black Box. But Resident Evil, I was like, oh shit, cut the light on. Oh, hell no. Nah. So I remember I had that. Then I copped 64. And then I had a GamePro magazine, like this subscription where I would get like games. I would get like this GamePro magazine where they would give you a magazine every month and you'd read it and shit. And I'd be fascinated because I'm like, what the hell is Neo Geo? I see Captain.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I was talking to the OGs. I'd be like, what are they doing in Japan? So I always follow gaming, you know. I always follow gaming.
Did you have a Sega Saturn? I had Sega Saturn.
Yo, I had Sega Saturn. I even had this thing called Sega CD, where it was a box where you could attach your Sega Genesis to it.
Yeah, my boy had that.
Yeah, I had that. That was ill. I had pretty much almost every system except for like GameCube. Another cop, GameCube. I had Dreamcast. Dreamcast was fun.
I had GameCube, had Dreamcast.
Yeah. Dreamcast is when I knew we what's it called? When you steal shit off the internet? We pirate now. I remember in 12th grade or 11th grade, no, maybe 10th grade, my classmate, the Japanese kid, Jason Sunwoo, I'm not snitching, it's been 30 years. It's been 30 years, Jason. But this guy was like, yo, come here for a second. I said, what? He was like, I got any game you want. I'm like, what are you talking about? Over the book bag, I see mad Dreamcast games that he burned. I'm like, how you do that? He's like, yo, you can hack Dreamcast. I'm like, what's hack?
That was the first game and then you could actually start doing that.
That piracy. So I'm like, oh, snap, for free? So I was like, I got some games off of him and I was like, in my head, like, this shit not gonna last then. This game is not gonna last. This shit is over.
Wow.
And then lo and behold, that shit went bankrupt. And I don't know how it was for you, but for me, I want to say like PS2 I had. I never had Xbox either. I never had Xbox. I never had the first Xbox. So I remember I stopped for a while. And then when I met you and I met Joe was like, yo, you gotta get online. I said, what do you mean? He's like, yo, you gotta get on Xbox 360. I said, what do you mean? What's that?
Gears of War.
And he was like, yo, you gotta get on Gears of War. I said, what do you do? He's like, yo, cop the game, cop the system, cop the game, and make sure you have your router or whatever plugged into because you go online and play. I said, for real? And I remember back in the day, I heard online gaming because Dreamcast had online gaming.
Matter of fact, I think I remember you bought this shit. You went and bought Xbox 360.
Right afterwards, yeah. Right after Joe told me, Joe was like, yo, go cop it. I said, cool. And I was like, I had PS2 in the crib. I wasn't playing outside of GTA. I wasn't really playing games for a while. I was off it, and that was big for me because I was a huge gamer growing up. So I was off it for a while, and then when Joe convinced me, he was like, "Yo, you gotta get Xbox 360 and get Gears of War. It's fun online gaming." I said, "All right, cool, I'll try." And I knew online gaming because my old manager from Odell's, he had PlayStation Online, and he had SOCOM. He was telling me, "Yeah, I talk to people around the world." I said, "All right, get it." And I had Dreamcast, and Dreamcast was early on internet too, but I never logged online at the time. So when 360 came out, I said, "All right, I'll try." So Gears of War changed my game. Like that brought me back. That brought me back. Like if there's a thing called crack cocaine, that was a great pipe. Like, all right, I'm back.
Yeah, that got me hooked on Xbox. And I was an Xbox head for a minute.
Me too. You know what's crazy? Speaking of online gaming, I saw a picture the other day of the 1999 NBA Finals. It was a New York Knicks versus the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs won. They swept the Knicks. So I saw a photo of the plane ride back to San Antonio. You see Tim Duncan, David Robinson, and some other players. They're huddled around laptops all on the airplane, and they're all plugged into each other. And then the caption read, they were celebrating their win by playing some game online, some like Dungeons & Dragons game online, LAN, a local something network. So my coworker's like, what's that mean? Look, I'm like, yo, dog, back in the day before you had a modem to play online, to play multiplayer, you had to connect different laptops or different TVs together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember I saw True Life MTV, True Life I'm a Gamer, where like a mom in her basement had big ass screen TVs back to back to back, and all her kids and her kids' best friends in the neighborhood all were playing Halo together, but with each other with like six TVs in the house. Around each other.
I've seen that before.
Because there's no internet. So you have to like plug in together manually. That is some archaic caveman type shit.
That's what you had to do back in the days. And that shit was dope.
So like, I remember like when 64 came out, N64, and there was four controllers. I'm like, yo, four controllers? You play with three other people? That's crazy.
And they had to split. Then they had to split. They made it where they split screen.
Oh, like GoldenEye. Yeah, like one little box to look at. That was a then GoldenEye. That's some caveman shit. You know what I'm saying? But I remember that seeing myself like, yo, this can't get any better than this. This can't get any better than this. And then now you got like, then when 360 came out and Gears of War, I remember like thinking to myself, wow, the internet, you can talk to anybody you want, and there's mad racists online too.
Oh yeah. When I got 360, that's when I started playing online. Actually, yeah, I started playing Call of Duty online, and that's when I started running into mad races. I was like, oh, damn, people talk crazy on here. I was like, I didn't know, like, it's like this.
You go in a room chat before the game starts. You be like, hey, what's up, what's your name? Hey, my name's Mike. Oh, you're black, aren't you? What you mean? I'm like, yo, chill.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo, you're a fucking monkey.
Yeah, monkey.
Like, Like, God damn.
I'm just trying to play.
I just can't afford it. Like, damn, why I gotta be all of that? Like, damn, like, they be going hard.
I was here to fight racism, too. I didn't know I was here to fight racism as well. Like, God damn, let me play. But, yo, you realize with the internet, like, damn, people are really crazy. They're really crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because now my son, he be playing Gorilla. His mom just told me the other day, she was like, I don't know if I like him playing that game. Because, you know, he's playing, he got the headset on. He's playing with a bunch of other little kids, you know, and, you know, he's interacting with them, talking to them and stuff like that. And I'm like, damn, yo, it's just like how we was.
Something never changed.
And, you know, there was a couple times I heard him playing with some kids and they was cursing like crazy. I had to tell him, like, yo, go to a different game, yo. Like, whenever you hear somebody cursing like that, just leave that game and go to a different game.
My daughter, my middle daughter, she plays Roblox, which is a stupid-ass game. But she plays Roblox with her homegirls, and she's in third grade. And, like, I've seen her stressed out when her homegirls, like, no, do this, do that, follow me. I look at her proud, like, you stressed out too, huh? This is a drug, man. You can't once you win, you can't get out, baby.
Yo.
And at least now, I'm like, yo, Lauren, at least now you play some random-ass game with your friends collaboratively. Yo, there was back in the day, there was game levels, solo missions, where, like, I'm like, how the fuck do you beat this shit? Read the book. You got to read the book.
You stuck on shit for days. Like, what the fuck?
I used to be at school stressed out in seventh grade, like, yo, what's wrong, Mike? Fucking game.
Yo, I don't know if you remember, Resident Evil was like that. You'd be stuck, and you get one piece. You have to run all the way back to one spot, run all the way back to another spot. I'd be like, what the fuck?
My shit was, I hated solving puzzles. Why the fuck are you giving me solving puzzles for? Well, I got homework here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You saw, yeah, solving puzzles and everything. In fact, no, it was like that Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Oh, my God. And our car.
God damn.
Yeah, you got to make sure the shit aligns right. Or so I'm like, yo, this, man, I'm not here for homework, yo. I'm not here for homework. Skip this motherfucker. Skip this shit. That's why I was always pro cheat code. I'm pro cheat code. You know, you have the purists, but all these cheat codes. Man, fuck you. I'm using cheat codes.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I was telling my daughter, like, yo, back in the day, like, forget Roblox. I used to play online with a PC also. I don't have floppy disks. I don't have game on floppy disks.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she's like, what's that? I was like, let me show you. I go on YouTube and show her, like, you have a game on floppy disk. You put it in, it boot up. It takes 8 hours. And once you log on, you play and shit, but yo, like I said, you might have some hard ass levels. Like, remember that shooter game, Duke Nukem, Doom, or Doom, or something like that? Or there was some game I used to play, some shooter, first person shooter game.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Duke Nukem. Yeah, like the devils and shit and zombies. I'm like, yo, man, these games just stress me the hell out. No wonder I'm bald. This shit just stress me the hell out, dog. But so I'm like, now when you stress out over Roblox, I'm like, yo, that's just you and your friends bullshit. I look at Roblox today where my nephew plays that other game, Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's a big game today. I never played it. I don't know how. I know it's popular, though.
Yeah.
I know it's popular.
Well, you took my Fortnite, right?
Yeah, Fortnite. Yeah.
Yeah, I never really got into that. That's the game the youngins been playing.
They've been on it heavy. And yo, I guess they're making money off these kids because every other month's a new patch or a new this, a new that.
Yeah. They always have this new thing you gotta buy. Like, yo, your daughter don't be asking you for Robux.
Oh, Robux. Oh, man. Yeah. Yo, I asked this girl, which one for your birthday? I think she wants a pony. I think she wants, like...
No, she wants Robux.
Oh, Robux. That's it?
She want to buy clothes for her avatar.
I'm like, you got real clothes in the closet. No. I want fake clothes.
You want to take my real money and buy fake money? Like, what?
Exactly. You want real money for fake money. I'm like, damn, was I bugging this much back in the day with games? And I was like, I don't think so. I knew this shit wasn't real. I knew this is imaginary. I'm going to zone out for 2 hours and I'm done with it.
But yeah, they be like,
but yo, they watch other kids play on YouTube.
They watch other kids playing, yo. That's what my son be doing.
And I'm like, why are you watching him play? You just play yourself.
Yeah, you got the same game. You got the same game. Play Gorilla Tag yourself.
Yeah, no. I want to see how they do it. I'm like, God damn.
Yo, I'm telling you, this new gaming is crazy.
Hold on one second. I got somebody at the door. Hold on one second. Pause one second. Hold on. Yo, Mo.
Yo.
I don't know how it is at your crib. I'm in the house. I got a co-op. Yo, I got a pet peeve, dog. Motherfuckers be like coming to your crib to drop off packages. They'll just like ring the doorbell, drop the shit, and then by the time you open the door, they're down the street. Like, yo, nigga, let me. I'll be saying, yo, who is it? And they'll respond. And I'm old school. If you'll say, who is it? I want to grab a bat or something just in case.
Yo, hold on 1 second. Let me get the charger for my laptop.
Yeah, yo. But yeah, man, that's a pet peeve I have in mind, yo. Like, my thing is like, if you come to the crib to drop off a package, tell me, yo, package here. But no etiquette. But yeah, man. But yeah, gaming, man. I was a huge gamer back in the day. Like I said, I had my Game Pro magazine. I prefer third person shooters like Gears of War. I never cared for first persons outside of Call of Duty. And I love, of course, sports games. Outside of playing real sports outside, of course, you know what I'm saying? But when it came to online gaming or whatever, like those were my go-to. And I know that sounds real first person perspective because I got homies like Yuri who grew up in Cuba who like gaming. We had to fish. But yeah, man. Yeah, I actually gotta wrap up soon. I gotta go out and get my daughter. My daughter is doing an event at Yankee Stadium, and they end it early, so I'm gonna go out there and go get her soon. But real quick, before I leave, Mo, give me your take and your impression on Sinners, because me and you were talking off camera about Sinners. Give me your
Yeah,
impression.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, great movie, man.
Great
Great movie.
movie.
And I was telling my boy, I was like, to be honest with you, going in, I didn't think it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be okay, like no regular. I thought it was gonna be okay movie.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, yo, that movie was so good. I went and seen it 2 times. I want to see it again.
I'm jealous of you because I only saw it once last Friday, and because of these
Well,
damn
I didn't
kids.
see it IMAX, so this time when I go, I'm gonna see it IMAX.
That's what I want to do. I want to go see the IMAX for the second time. Yesterday morning, I checked for IMAX. You know, Lincoln Center on 30 West Forest, where it is in Manhattan. Yo, every seat was sold out. And by the way, 10:45 a.m. showing.
That's
I
crazy.
said, God damn, it's crazy.
Yo.
But I'm happy, but also I'm happy though, because that means, you know, the more money it makes, the more movies like that we probably get in the future, maybe, or the more opportunities. So I'm happy, but I was tight. But I'm gonna watch it soon this week, maybe after I get paid on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was yeah, it was really amazing. And I was telling my friend, I was like, yo, it could even if it wasn't even about vampires, it could have been like a old gangster movie, something like. I think that movie would still would have been amazing. The writing was good, the acting was good,
Yeah,
the casting was
the cast was
perfect.
good. Michael B. Jordan did his thing, and he gets nitpicked for his acting skills, but I think he did a good job.
He did, yo, he did his thing.
He did his thing, and
He did his
it's
thing.
funny. I'm glad you said that. And you didn't need the vampires to even have the compelling story it had. And I'm glad you said that because I was telling my boy that day, my coworker. You know, I wouldn't mind reading a graphic novel about the prequel, you know what I'm saying? Or
Yeah.
about them in Chicago or like, you know, or them you know, or maybe Stack afterwards, sorry for
Yeah,
spoilers.
you know.
You know, him in the 90s or the 80s. Like, matter of fact, off camera, I want to talk to you about that. Like, I wonder if that is something you could do because you're a great illustrator. If you do like a little composite of like a Stack in the 80s or roaming the streets at night, you know, like in the 80s and 90s as a vampire. I don't Dr. Umar didn't like him choosing old girl.
Yeah,
But
I know he didn't like that.
Nah, I'm sure he didn't. But yo, I felt like it was a great story and a great movie because yo, it showed that everyone in that story, all the main characters, was dealing with the blues. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're dealing with heartache because you lost your infant son, whether you're dealing with a lost love, whether you're dealing with like, you know, being broke as a sharecropper, whether you were old wino, alcoholic, and you upset with your
Yeah,
life.
even the chick that had the husband, you
Yeah,
know, and you know, she was messing with Sammy,
yeah.
you
Yeah,
know,
yeah,
and, you know, everybody.
yeah. Everybody had the blues. Everybody was fighting something, fighting depression. It all came into a head that night. My thing is like, everybody should know vampire lore and vampire etiquette. So once you see a vampire can't come to the crib, why can't come in? Why can't come in? And for me, yo, my thing was my night would have been easy. I'd have been like, a word? Can't come in? We're going to see this in the morning. Like, who had the Xbox? Load that bitch up.
We got Xbox.
You
Nah, but you gotta remember that Asian chick, she
see?
invited the men.
All right, we're going to end on this note because you're a parent like I'm a parent. We're going to end on this note. And maybe next time we'll talk more in depth about it. We're going to end on this note as a parent, as a father. Because I want to play devil's advocate. Yes, she was taunted by saying, you know, we know your kids are out in town and whatever, and this one with the kids. So she probably was thinking, damn, they're going to kill my kids. Would you sacrifice yourself and allow the vampires in because they taunted you about your kids in town? Or would you ride it out till the morning?
To be honest with you, to keep it.
I feel the same way, but I'm going to let you say it.
Nah, I'm going to say something you probably not going to, you probably didn't expect.
What?
I would have went out there. I would have went out there. Because, like, I was telling my boy, I was like, yo, she over here going crazy. I would have kicked her ass out. I would have, you want to be out there? Your husband out there? Your daughter? Okay, go. You out there.
Sweet young, you got to go, man.
Yeah, I would have kicked her ass out. So if I was in that situation, I probably would have went out there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I probably would have went out there, too. Because it's messed up to sacrifice the whole crew.
Yeah, you know.
And the whole barn. Just know, like, remember, it's 1930s, though. So, like, you ain't an automatic starter. Once you go out there, you got to get in the car. If you have one, or a doom buggy, you ain't got no roof, probably. You gotta jump. You got to crank that bitch, like, by the third crank, your ass just got somewhere in the neck. So, listen, there was no right scenario for it. But I just feel like, damn, man. When she said, well, come on in, motherfuckers. I said, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Damn.
I said, oh, shit.
Shit, yo.
Yo, they was like, yo, get a weapon. I was like, oh, shit, you seen everybody strapping up? Yeah. Like, yo, it's about to be crazy.
Yo. And mind you, one last thing before we leave. Last thing. Stack is a wild boy because it's the 1930s. Mind you, even if it's the 1990s, you can't be out there kissing a white woman like that, like, in a juke joint. You are wild, my boy, because forget the vampires. You might get hung in the morning.
Word.
You a wild boy, period.
Yo, that's why I think when she kissed him up in the juke joint, he backed up. He's like, oh, like, I was like, nah.
Oh, nah. But, yo, I got to run. So we're going to continue this later. In the sequel, we're going to talk about it more. But, yo, for now, for looking for coming through and doing this little warm-up for me, yo. I appreciate it.
No doubt, bro.
I'm going to holler at you.
All right, man. Have a good day.